Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We're at Circa Sports in Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. And as always on Mondays at this time, we say hello to John McClain down in Houston who joins us. And, John, I just got word from both the Tennessee and Texas Department of Corrections that they used the Titans-Texans game yesterday as punishment for their inmates. So they piped that in to all the prisons in Tennessee and Texas.
Well, I would have had a hard time piping it in when every other city didn't carry it, right? Only Nashville carried it. Any other state carry it?
No.
No, Houston. I mean,
they
Houston.
Were treated to a nail biter.
It was riveting. But it was the Texans were able to pull it out to get to 500. And now at 5-5, so they're still a chance, I guess, so to speak. But the Titans fall to 1-9, and it was just a tough one to watch.
Oh, it was a tough one to watch. What about that exhilarating first half? 3-0.
Oh.
Well, that was exciting. And the thing that one drive that the Titans had at the end of the game, 11 plays, 95 yards. That was kind of titillating, showing you what Cam Ward would be capable of. You know, several times he had drop passes, and those pre-snap penalties were ridiculous. I know somebody said something about the cadence.
Yeah.
That it was Ward. Well, that's why you have practice. It's ridiculous. Latham jumping off three times at home. And but the fact is, as I say, you got to get that first pick. And they took another step for that first pick because right now Fernando Mendoza is separating himself long time to go in the scouting process. But you want a team, especially a team like, say, Cleveland. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. Cleveland has two first-round picks. You know, and you'd have a chance to get two first-round picks and more. Anyway, with all that money to spend in free agency, a new head coach, new guys on both sides of the ball, Ward going into his second season. Next season is when fans should get fired up.
Do you think there's going to be a sense with Titans fans that they're going to view what New England did this year? And who knows what that story is going to be when it's finished, but they spent a lot of money in free agency. They've built through the draft. They have the quarterback. They went and got the head coach. I feel like the Titans are a long way off from being able to pull that off. But I think people are going to look to New England as, oh, well, if they can do it, then my team can too.
I remember after the 1998 season, the Rams were 4-12. Dick Vermeil was the head coach, and everybody said he's over the hill. And then when he lost his starting quarterback, Trent Green, in preseason, everybody wrote it off. Said, well, they'll compete for the first pick and hopefully be able to get a new quarterback since Trent Green's done. And then Kurt Warner stepped in. They won a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to the Patriots. The Patriots, to me, are a year ahead of what everybody else thought. And so much of what's happened is there is you guys saw it when they – as an example, when the Titans went to the championship game after they upset the Ravens and Derrick Henry went crazy, you know, Vrabel stepped into a great situation. The coach here is stepping into a situation where they'll have so much money to spend, but you got to spend it correctly. And you got to have the head coach and the GM on the same page. And that is the key. You've got our the right guy, and then you got a draft. Is there a chance there that they could make a big improvement? Yeah, sure. Now, who does AFC South play next year? I haven't even paid any attention.
That's a good question.
Which NFC division they play? The Patriots play an incredibly easy schedule. Yes, they went to Buffalo and they won. That's impressive. Yes, they won in Tampa. Now Tampa's lost two in a row. But I think every bad team that has a quarterback is going to use the Patriots as an example. But, you know, Mike has done a great job, and culture is attitude, establishing a good attitude. They've been very fortunate that Stephon Diggs goes up there. Texans didn't want him back, and he played, I think he missed the last eight games with a torn ACL. Then he went to New England. I'm thinking, okay, based on when he got hurt, he'll be ready probably a quarter into the season, may have to wait till midway point, and he's been there from the get-go, and he's been outstanding. Just an example of personnel decisions that have to be made correctly. So Titans got a long way to go to be able to do that, but it's possible to rebuild quickly if you've got the right coach and if you have the right quarterback.
The NFC East, to answer your question.
Well, right now, Cowboys are nothing special. Giants are nothing special. Washington's nothing special. Too bad couldn't have played the East this year. And, of course, the Eagles are the Eagles. So it's not like they're playing the NFC West like this season.
Absolutely. John McClain's with us on the Chase and Big Joe. So, John, we throw all these names out there. Is there one name that you like for this Titans job? Because we talk about Art Smith, Matt Nagy. You know, I'm a big fan of Robert Saleh. Is there one name that you think could come here and really have a positive impact on this franchise?
I think they need an offensive coach who an offensive coach who is a proven play caller, if he's going to call the plays, and he probably would. And if he's been a head coach, that'd be great, no matter what level. And I would look to see people who came from Green Bay and at Kansas City. And both those organizations do a tremendous job. You know, all these reports about Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
That Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst have 1 year left on their contract, and they have not been extended by head policy, the new president of the Packers. Now, there's no way he's going to let them get away, but it's going to be constant speculation. You know, what if the Packers end up not making the playoffs? What if Matt LaFleur is tired of being up there? So if, say Matt got fired. Matt, if he's fired in the morning, would have a job by lunch. If he's fired in the afternoon, he'd have a job by dinner. All of a sudden, he'd be Andy Reid. And so you don't know. But to me, Joe, it's got to be a guy with an offensive background who has a history of coaching quarterbacks. And because Cam Ward development, as you know, is imperative.
Oh, absolutely, with all that. We're talking to John McClain here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. So, John, you look at yesterday, the Titans fall to 1-9. You know, we're insulated here in the bubble. We know it's not a bad look and everything. When you look at it from your view down in Houston at this franchise, I mean, is it as bad as it seems for us here in Nashville? I mean, what's the reaction do you have when you look at this football team from where you are?
Well, it's bad right now, and for the reasons we just mentioned, if they get that top pick, and maybe they get the second pick, and there's another quarterback that steps up between now and the draft, and that's going to happen because still so many teams are desperate for quarterbacks, but you want one that has two number one picks to be desperate, like the Browns. And having all that money, the problem is people aren't sure of the setup. And I tell them, well, Boghossian's the GM. And from what I've heard over there from people I know, they've been very impressed with Boghossian, the way he's gone about his business. Now, Chad Brinker, will he be somebody who listens to Boghossian and says, okay, you want to hire Arthur Smith? I might like, you mentioned Matt Nagy. Well, I think Matt Nagy would be good, but you're the GM. You know, if that's who you want to hire, we'll take it to Amy and she'll sign off on it. And but you just don't know the dynamic. But based on what I've heard, I would trust Mike Boghossian to do the right thing. And with the potential draft capital, the money to spend this year and next year, Patriots still got a lot of money to spend. They'll probably be a Super Bowl favorite next year, unless everybody makes the Chiefs a favorite again. And as I've told you before, because of everything there, you don't need a stadium, you don't need a facility, you know, you don't need anything but to perform on the field, and they haven't done that, and that's why they're in a desperate situation.
He is John McClain. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. And, John, a riveting matchup tonight on Monday Night Football as the 3-5-1 Cowboys head to Vegas to take on the 2-7 Raiders. What a matchup.
It is a matchup that I promise you I will not be watching. The only reason I watch the Cowboys is to see if the Cowboys lose. And the Raiders are in a similar situation. You know, they're Geno Smith has been a big disappointment. Chip Kelly has been a big disappointment. They're paying him $6 million a year to be the offensive coordinator. Texans sniffed around him a little bit. Boy, once they found out that price, they had no interest. He's cashing in on that national championship at Ohio State. And it looks like he and Pete Carroll kind of have a difference in philosophy. I know they struggle to use Ashton Jeddy the way they want to because they'd like to have some leads and run him a lot, but they don't have any leads. And I'd love to see the Raiders beat the Cowboys because it kind of be the ultimate indignity considering how pathetic they are.
Do you think that Brian Schottenheimer, this could be a one and done, or is Jerry going to be patient and know that he's still got work to do on the defensive side of the ball? I know they made some trades at the deadline and give him another year.
Jerry Jones has never been quick on the trigger. He keeps his coaches too long. Jason Garrett being a great example. Chan Gailey, another one. Dave Campo. Even Wade Phillips. He fired Wade during the season. And Wade had gone to the playoffs and won a playoff game. So, no, I think Jerry kind of feels like he discovered a nugget because he was drilling where nobody else was. And he wants to give him every opportunity to do well so Jerry can beat on his chest and say, aha, nobody else was interested in him but me. I know what I'm doing.
John McClain's on the Chasing Big Joe show. John, I really, really like watching the Carolina Panthers. I think Bryce Young has turned into a nice quarterback. Dave Canales is doing great. You look at that team at the beginning of the season, you know, Canales was on the hot seat and they're not going anywhere. But now they're 6-5, and he's got them to believe in. And that's just a fun football team to watch. Had a big win yesterday versus the Falcons. Your thoughts on the Panthers and the patience they've shown?
Bryce Young had 3 touchdown passes, I think like 450 yards. And they're on national TV in this next week. And all you're like thinking, oh, my God, why would you want the Panthers? Panthers have a winning record. It might actually be a good game. And Canales has quietly done a good job, just to echo what you said, Joe, very quietly. There's no controversy out of there. David Tepper, the owner, as I'm not saying he's a model owner, but after the way he started, it's like he's been locked in a closet and they threw away the key. You don't hear anything about him. And Canales, you know, Mike Vrabel is going to run away with Coach of the Year. Yep. Second will probably be Shane Steichen. But I tell you what, Dave Canales ought to be third.
John, yesterday Shedeur Sanders got in the game. And according to Athlon Sports, minimum 15 attempts. He had the 4th worst quarterback debut of all time, going 4-16. I don't blame that on him because he was thrust in the game and all that stuff that went on. But, I mean, do we see him starting on – I know Stefanski said we're going to go back to Dylan Gabriel if he's out of concussion protocol. But from all accounts, people that were there said when he came in the game, the stadium – they have not heard Cleveland Stadium that loud since 1999. I mean, there's a lot of drama here with this. Where do you think this goes forward, John?
I don't think this had anything to do with Shedeur Sanders and everything to do with how absolutely pathetic the Browns are in their quarterback situation is. They've got 2 number one picks. They want to move up and get a quarterback. They may be in a position to get him with where they're picking. And Shedeur was awful. But everybody says, well, he didn't get to practice with the first team. Well, a lot of backups come in a situation that don't look as bad as he did. Now they won't have any excuses. There's so many people who are dying for Shedeur Sanders to be good. a lot of broadcasters can't wait for him to do something good because they go, aha, that's why he should have been a first pick. No way he ever should have been picked behind Dillon Gabriel. But there's a reason that he's not playing. Do the Browns actually think, with Stefanski's job on the line, that Stefanski would not play the quarterback that he believes gives them the best chance of winning? There's a reason Gabriel was picked in the third round and Shedeur Sanders wasn't. It'd be a great story if he plays well. No third-round quarterback's ever gotten the attention that he has.
Absolutely. By the way, the worst debut ever, Mike Maturek, in 1984 for the Detroit Lions, was 6 of 21, 3 interceptions, and a 1.6 quarterback rating back in the day.
Wow.
Yep. All right.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. When you look at the NFC, how much of a believer are you in the Rams?
I am. That's my team now. I was Detroit Buffalo before the season. Detroit's like a seesaw up and down. And although they were the victim of a terrible pass interference call last night, not that they would have won the game anyway, I always agree with Bill Belichick, always. Every year he went to the NFL spring meetings and he said, make every play reviewable, but it will not make the game longer because coaches don't have any more challenges. Right. And that way coaches would save a challenge for fourth quarter or late in the game, and I think pass interference should be reviewable. But anyway, the Rams, the MVP is going to be Matthew Stafford, not Drake May, even though the media up in Boston is doing everything they can to help May get the MVP. Rams play in a much tougher division, and Stafford has been magnificent. Now, he may have to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia's already beaten them. May have to go back there for a playoff game like last year when they were in the snow and the cold, and they almost beat the Eagles. But right now, the NFC, my pick is the Rams over the Eagles because of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would agree with that right now. What's crazy is when you look at the AFC and the division leaders, I don't think anybody had any of these teams, New England, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Denver, as being the division leaders at this point in the season. The West, we all thought the Chiefs, they may not even make the playoffs right now. The Colts have been, the I think, a big shocker in the league. You know, the North is pretty jumbled up, and then the Patriots, as you said earlier, are maybe a year ahead of where we all thought. But that's what's kind of made this year fun in the NFL, in my opinion.
I can't remember how many years it is that there's been a worst to first. Would that be the Bears? The Bears' schedule's about to get a whole lot tougher.
Yeah.
And when I look at the AFC, I'm still sticking with Buffalo. You know, they benched their number two receiver because he didn't show up at a meeting, and they only scored 44 points. And Josh Allen, 3-6 touchdowns. Second time in his career it's happened. Only 3 times in history has that happened. The Texans' next 3 games, I'll be better educated to answer the question you just asked me, Chase, because you said these teams in first place. The Texans play the Bills here, then they go to Indy, then they go to Kansas City. And the Colts, when I look at teams I think got the best chance for the Super Bowl, I'm looking for the quarterback who's playing the best, who's healthy, who has a reasonable number of weapons around him, who are healthy. That's why I would not pick Daniel Jones over Josh Allen when it comes to that January. I wouldn't pick Drake May over Josh Allen. I wouldn't pick anybody in the NFC over Matthew Stafford. You know, the Eagles keep doing it with defense. They're smart. They're defending champion, but their offense looks more like the toilet bowl than the Super Bowl. And that's why, like, do any of us actually believe Pittsburgh is going to win that division over Baltimore? I don't think so. Ravens are on a roll. They didn't play well yesterday. They usually don't play well offensively against Cleveland, but they still won. They're going to win that division, and nobody's going to want to play them in the playoffs. Just like if the Chiefs sneak in as a wild card team and you have to host them, nobody's going to want to play them. And it's too bad about Denver. The defense is so great. They keep winning all these close games in the fourth quarter, but their offense overall has been a disappointment.
Yeah, John, I was going to bring that up. They have won. Broncos have won 6 one-score games. They've only lost 2. They've won their last game. The last 5 games by 12 points. I mean, they're playing with fire, but here's the thing. They're winning, right?
Last year, Joe, the Chiefs were 11-0 in those one-score games. They were winning in ways you're like, oh, my God, that kick was blocked. They win. It should have been an easy field goal, and more power to them for doing that. But, you know, they were not able to win the Super Bowl. And I just don't think at this point, if you're struggling on offense, all of a sudden the light's going to go off and your offense is going to make dramatic improvements. Defense wins championships, but, boy, you got to get to the championship to win it before you can say that. And right now they do not have a championship offense.
John, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and I always appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. John McClain joining us down in Houston. He does so every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll react to some of those things and look at the NFL and the Titans as a whole. Coming up next, live from Circa Sports in Kentucky, Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, live from Circa Sports at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. Chase McKay, Big Joe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier. Looks like bad news out of Atlanta. Michael Penix seems to be out for the year. Potentially season-ending knee injury during Sunday's loss to the Panthers. He's going to seek a second opinion, but it's not encouraging. Adam Schefter says this is expected to be the 5th season-ending injury for Michael Penix in his 8 college and pro seasons.
Good Lord. Well, I mean, good news. Falcons aren't going anywhere at 3-7. Hope he gets healthy and gets back on the field.
So Kirk Cousins will take over as the starter. Also, the Jets are expected to make a quarterback change, going to Tyrod Taylor from Justin Fields. Diana Rossini had that as well.
I mean, the Titans are terrible, but that Jets team, how'd they win 2 games?
That's a great
question. They're 2-8, and they're bad. I mean, they're just top. Poor Justin Fields gets all the. I mean, he's great at Ohio State, but just shows you sometimes it doesn't transfer to the National Football League, and he's just not good. I hate it. I mean, by all accounts, he's a good teammate and everything else, but just not a good quarterback.
So, and also, it looks like Aaron Rodgers could be missing some time as well. So, with a.
He got a little ouchie in his left hand.
Yeah, got an ouchie.
Still throw with your right hand. Get out there. They're 6-4. That's a surprising 6-4 because they don't do a lot of things well. They just show up and, I mean, there's not a lot of talent there, but they're still 6-4, leading the NFC North right now. But I think the Ravens are right on their heels and the Bengals. I mean, does he come back next year, Zach Taylor? I mean,
I don't know.
He's been there now 7 seasons. Got you to 1 Super Bowl, though, in 21.
Yeah.
And when you got Burrow, you're not bad. Last year, they might have been the best football team down the stretch last year, the last 6 to 7 games. But, of course, that means nothing if you don't get into the playoffs and make something happen. But their defense was a hot mess, and that D.C. leaves and goes over the Colts, and now they're sitting there at 8-2.
615-737-1025. Our question of the day, revisiting that, was,
are you still invested in this franchise? Because half of my friends aren't. Other half are like, we're here till the day we die. So I'm just curious where you are. We could talk about Amy Adams drunk all day long and the development of Cam Ward, but are you still invested in this Titans franchise? 615-737-1025. You still go to the games? You still spend money? I want to know. I'd like to know where you stand on this.
I'm still invested, and I think a lot of people still are. I just think that, you know, they gotta get out of their own way. And I think if there's a coach that, you know, has the cojones to look at them and say, look, I want to come coach your football team. I want to come help fix your football team, but the owner's got to stay out of the way.
But what gives you – if you want to buy season tickets next year, why? Unless you just truly love football and love this. Yeah. And I get it. But also get people like, I'm done. We had callers already throughout the show today who said, I'm done. I'm not wasting my Sunday watching them anymore. And it gets more and more each week. More and more people call in. More and more people text in and say, hey, we're done. I'm not wasting my time on this. And I'm just curious. We're invested because that's kind of our job.
Yeah.
With media people in town, so we're going to watch, and we still got to do that. And but a lot of people
we're
are like
for punishment.
They are. They're like, say, hey, well, it's time for us to kind of move off of this and do other things. And I mean, you're talking fans have been there since 1997 that bought tickets to go to Vanderbilt and went to Memphis, and the fact you're giving up now, and I get it. You don't want to be around a losing franchise, and we're no hope of it getting any better anytime soon. I understand that, but God bless those who are diehard and so passionate about this football team.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to say this. You know, they just showed it on ESPN. Calvin Ridley out for the season with a broken fibula. Mason Kinsey is terrible. He doesn't deserve to be on the field as an NFL wide receiver. Call up Restrepo. Just do it.
I mean, does he have pictures on people or something? I don't know.
Maybe I thought he was always Vrabel's boy.
I don't know. Restrepo?
Yeah.
Or
no, Kinsey.
Kinsey, yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, is Restrepo that bad? If he's that bad, why is he – get him off your practice squad,
yeah, right.
Too.
Why are you wasting a practice spot?
If he's not giving the other team good looks, get him out there. Goodbye. Take care.
Tyler Boyd, you're going to go re-sign him? He's out there. You think he's going to be better for you?
Right.
According to Nick Holtz a couple weeks ago, Xavier Restrepo is like a really good practice squad cornerback. So I don't know why, but apparently he's good on defense.
Oh, okay. Well, great. I could use help there too. So.
Yeah, can he get reps at DB? They don't mind that right there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's funny. There's a play that that Jarvis Brownlee did. What's a play he didn't do the other night? I don't know if you saw it. He was trailing a wide receiver for the Patriots, and the guy caught the pass, and he stumbled over his own feet, and he fell down. What does Brownlee do? Doesn't touch him. Just runs by and gets all frustrated that he caught the ball. Patriots guy gets a run from their 15, 20 yards.
That was stupid.
Just, I mean, mindless, dumb play in football. And Brownlee was one of those guys and throws a fit and he's gone. It just shows you even, you know, he was part of the team for a while. Remember, Nick, he got into a fight with the fans down in Tampa?
Yeah, and somebody stole his helmet the week before they left as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just if you can't go any worse, things like that happen and you see what's going on there, but – as far as invested, like I said, my brother is he's invested. He's a Titans fan. He's not going anywhere. There's others like, I'm done. I'm not spending any more money.
Well, here we got some texts. Let me read them. Thomas says, I will always be invested in this team since they are our hometown team. However, I'm thoroughly embarrassed by what Amy has put us through over the last several years. She should be ashamed. 3334, I'm still invested long term, but this season is over. 8720, did y'all that's about Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin's not coming here either, so let's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin says, as an Oilers fan of the late 70s and 80s and lived there in Clarksville when they moved to Tennessee, yes, I will always root and support the Titans.
That's okay, good, Clark. Yeah.
2518, heck no, I won't spend a dime on them. Don't care anymore. I'm switching to another loser team like the Jets. They have two wins. Randy said, if you get Amy out of the way, then you have to deal with Brinker. If he's Amy's mouthpiece and he speaks for her, the new coaching candidate needs to figure out how to get rid of him. That's what I'm saying. Part of getting out of the way is getting rid of Brinker.
True.
Jeremy in Clarksville says, what do you consider invested in the franchise? Yes, I'm still a fan, but I'm done with this season. I'll start watching next season, but I'm half paying attention this season. It makes me not invested then. So
well, yeah, you could be mentally invested in him. You could also be financially invested in him. And so they both go hand in hand. But I get it. Again, I told you yesterday, I texted Chase and Ricky in our group. I was like, you know, I got to sit outside. I don't need to watch this anymore. And I went outside for 15 minutes. But you get drawn back because, like, all right, what do they do now? What happened? And so it's just it's crazy, man.
Let's go to Steve, who wants to weigh in on the Titans. Steve, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys this afternoon? Good show.
Good, thank you.
Listen, I just had a question, and this might be minutia, but I don't understand the kickoff rule in the NFL very well, but when Sly kicked it into the end zone and gave him the ball at the 35, why couldn't he have kicked it like between the goal line and the 20 or something like that, and they get it at the 25? I think that made a big difference. That gave him at least 10 yards, if not 15, free.
Yeah.
And that made it a lot shorter for that field goal. So especially on that third down, if that guy made that unbelievable catch. But anyway, Can you explain that to me? And if he could have done a better job kicking it off into the landing area or whatever they call it?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steve. I don't truly fully understand the new kickoff rules.
Right.
I think I understand what they're trying to do, but I would agree. I mean, I think, and kickers have talked about this, that there is more of a strategy now that you can't just, you know, boot it deep like you used to and take the touchback at the 20 or the 25 or whatever. Now it does go to the 35.
Yeah, wasn't it at the 40? I mean, because I'm reading like a touchback.
If you kick it out of bounds.
With the ball spotted the receiving, it's the 40-yard line. It's a kickoff out of bounds or short of landing zone. Ball caught in the landing zone must be returned. Touchback is not an option. Ball lands in the landing zone, then goes into the end zone. The receiving team can return it down for a touchback, which spots about the 20-yard line. I mean, even players, I don't think, know exactly what to do. And so it's very confusing. But the whole thing was to stop the running down the field, the collision. If that's been so important, why hasn't high school and college done that?
Yeah.
They still do it?
I agree. That's a good point.
Again, you're going to hate me saying this. I say it all the time. Football's a violent sport. Guys collide. A lot of collisions. It's going to happen whether or not you take the kickoff out of the game. So I don't understand all this. And the onside kick rule is just idiotic in every way possible. So they've managed to screw that up. Nice job, NFL.
I would agree with you on that one. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays and wrap up the show live at Circa Sports in Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. It's Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're at Circa Sports in Kentucky. DVD coming your way here in just a few minutes. Mondays were made for Macero, big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. The Cowboys and the Raiders coming up tonight. You can actually hear that on 102.5 The Game after the Commodore Hour starting at 7 o'clock. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, first on the list, we have National Baklava Day. Delicious.
It's a Greek delicacy.
Indeed. National Butter Day is today.
Like butter.
Homemade Bread Day. Make that easy. Not too shabby. Electric Greeting Card Day. Didn't know that was a thing.
Lazy.
International Happy Ghost Day. Not a ghost, but a ghost. It looks like a drink. I don't know. International Students Day is today.
Nice.
National Take a Hike Day. National Pharma Joke Day.
That we want Amy Adams Drunk to take a hike, but, you know, here we are.
Wait, Pharma Joke?
Yeah, it says National Farm. Oh, there's no A there. Just Farm Joke Day. Sorry, my bad. Completely different sentences if I just.
Yeah, that can really change things.
That's how English works. Yep. National Unfriend Day. It's probably what a lot of people want to do with
Daily.
Let's see. Little Mermaid Day, a Disney favorite. World Peace Day and World Prematurity Day. So. Preemie babies.
Thank you, buddy. Time for celebrity birthdays. This segment sponsored by possibly you, together CromwellMedia.com. All right, Chase McCabe, we'll start off first today. How old, now you got to get these within 2 years, how old is Martin Scorsese, the great director?
81.
83.
83, exactly. Good job, Dr. Crane. Out of the gates, roaring. All right, Dr. Crane, you need to go now. How old is Danny DeVito?
74.
76.
81.
Wow.
Dr. Crane, you get to go now. How old is Lorne Michaels, Saturday Night Live producer? Lorne Michaels.
63.
80.
81. Jump the gun there, too, Dr. Crane. You know, so Chase gets to go now. Chase, how old? Oh, Chase, you should get this one. How old is RuPaul?
Uh, 61.
63.
65. Dr. Crane's up 3-1. Now, Dr. Crane, you get to go now. Mr. Happy, jumping the gun. How old is the very attractive Leslie Bibb? She was in White Lotus 3.
38.
40.
52. Chase, you get to go now. From your favorite movie, The Notebook, actress Rachel McAdams.
42.
44.
47. That's how you know you're getting old, man. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. Actress Lauren Hutton. Very beautiful actress.
I go?
Dr. Crane.
Okay.
47.
34.
Ah, 82.
Nice.
Chase gets to go. Actor Steven Root, best known as Milton in Office Space, also King of the Hill, News Radio.
Yep. He was on something else,
Oh, too. Brother, Where Art Thou?
62.
63.
74. He's also a Florida graduate. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. Actress Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. She was in Scarface and also The Abyss.
61.
68.
67. Chase, you're pulling that one out of the far reaches. 3-2, Dr. Crane. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. How old is actress model Daisy Fuentes, who's married to Richard Marx?
59.
63.
59 exactly. Nice Jeez. Guess there. Well done on that. Let's see one more here. Oh, Chase, you get to go now. Guitar player Isaac Hansen of Hansen.
37.
42.
45. All right, that's great. You get to go. Elvin Hayes, NBA legend.
39. I didn't know if it was me or Chase. I just plowed one out
you.
There.
77.
He's 80. Far away from your 39 there. All right, Chase, you get to go. Butch Davis, former Miami coach and Cleveland coach.
71.
73.
74. Dr. Crane's up 6-2. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. Reggie Wayne.
56.
43.
47. Dr. Crane, you get to go. I mean, Chase, you get to go now. Ryan Braun, former Nashville Sound, Milwaukee Brewer.
44.
42.
42 exactly. 8-2. Our final birthday, Dr. Crane, you get to go. Kate Douglas, Olympic gold medal swimmer.
I'm going to go 41.
42.
24 years old. With that, Dr. Crane, you start the week off hot. You went 8-2.
I am disappointed in you.
Why? Another birthday?
You did. You forgot. Today is the 47th birthday of Titans legend Kyle Vandenbosch.
Is it really?
It is.
Didn't make the list here.
Yep.
Love Kyle. Had him on the show last year.
We did.
With his mean contacts.
Yep, we did. That today. So happy birthday, KVB.
Happy birthday, KVB, yeah. He was here from 05 to 09.
Yep.
That 07-08 defensive front, my goodness.
They were good, that is for sure. That is going to do it for us here today at Circa Sports. DVD coming your way next.
As we always head off to the new week, and our message at the end of every show to our guys out there, man, we love you guys. We're so grateful you guys have reached out the last 2 years to us. Keep doing it. Keep talking. Know that you are loved. And listen, let me talk about your journey for a second. Your journey's different than anybody else's in the world, and that's what makes you beautiful. So you might get some bumpy roads, some dark clouds, but remember, through all this, that God loves you, and keep going. We need you here. Our world's a better place because you're here. Please reach out anytime if you need to talk. I'm telling you, reach out anytime if you need to talk. I'd rather hear your story than go to your funeral. We love you, and know, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD will continue the discussion on the Titans' loss yesterday on a big college football weekend. Willie is back in the United States, so he'll be able to talk about his travels to Sweden and everything with the Predators. Who knows what's next for the Nashville Predators. But that is all coming your way on your drive home. We're back at it tomorrow from Germantown Pub starting at noon here on 102.5 The Game. Have a great rest of your day.